From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we're looking back at 2012. At the Wood Stove House, 2012 was a year of experiments, along with publishing 48 episodes of this podcast and exploring the local art scene through our blog. We produced two experimental theater events, a dozen concerts, and our first creativity conference. We've also introduced a few recurring segments on the program, including Harvey Owen's monthly Wear Center update and Mickle Time, a look at the local music scene with Mike McMonagle. Today we're launching a new segment with Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster, talking about local theater.
So EPAC season starts in 2013. The first thing they're doing is Annie Jr., and they do a really great thing called Kids for Kids. And they like to start their season out with a show that has mostly children in it, maybe a few adults. And they always sell out. They're hugely popular. And it's a great training ground for young talent.
Coming up, we're talking theater with Joanna Underhill and taking a look back at the year that was 2012. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Two past guests on this program are teaming up for a New Year's Eve celebration in Elizabethtown. Singer-songwriters Matt Wheeler and Katie Glorioso will be at Folklore Coffee, a cozy venue right in the heart of E-Town, to ring in the new year. The show starts at 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve with an opening set by Bobby Bradley. It's $10 to get in, you can bring your own bottle, and the espressos will be flowing until 11:30. It's New Year's Eve at Folklore Coffee. Check folklorecoffee.com for more. Later this week, it's Lancaster's first Friday. Even though it's cold outside, there will be plenty of heat at the Chameleon Club as Tri-State Indie presents the Central PA Tri-State Indie Awards Showcase. There will be plenty of music, including sets from The Districts, Sweet Lita, and Flux Capacitor. These bands have been nominated for TSI Awards to be presented at the awards show at World Cafe Live in Philly on February 17th. Check this episode's show post for links to more details about the showcase and how you can vote for the TSI Awards. It's the Central PA Tri-State Indie Awards Showcase, this Friday night, January 4th, at the Chameleon in Lancaster. Mark your calendars now for the monthly poetry series on Wednesday, January 9th, starting at 7 p.m. at Dogstar Books in Lancaster. The Dogstar Poetry Review presents Jim Warner, author of two poetry collections, Too Bad It's Poetry and Social Studies. An open mic will follow. Bring a poem, bring a friend, and enjoy poetry and freshly brewed Square One coffee at Dogstar Books, 401 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. It's Wednesday, January 9th at 7 p.m. Joanna Underhill from Creative Works of Lancaster joins us this week for a look ahead at what's going on in the Lancaster theater world as 2013 kicks off several new seasons. What's on your radar coming up here in early 2013?
One thing I'm really excited about is the Fulton is going to do a play called Good People. And that was nominated for a Tony last year for Best Play. And Frances McDormand was in it, of all those Coen brother movies fame. And it's a small play, because people think of the Fulton, they think of these big splashy musicals, but they really are making an effort to bring in more edgy theater that's been proven in New York, and then they'll bring it to a local audience. And it takes place in Boston. And
do you know, when's that start?
That runs January 29th to February 17th.
So that's
their first show.
First show of the season?
Mm-hmm.
What other theaters are kicking off seasons in January?
Prima Theater is going to start their season. And now I couldn't find the dates for it. I looked on their website, so you might want to check in with them on their website and Facebook. But they're doing, I don't know if they've told you about this or not, but they're doing a show called The Last 5 Years. And I know Prima...
An update since this segment was recorded. Prima's production of The Last 5 Years will run on February 8th through the 14th. Check the show notes for links.
And I know Prima normally does cabaret style or concert style things, and this show is perfect for them because it's two people and it's looking at their relationship, but the wife goes in chronological order from meeting her husband through their marriage through the end of their relationship, and the husband goes backwards at the same time. So his is from the dissolution of the relationship. They meet in the middle of their marriage, and then he ends when he just met and they're totally in love. And it's a really good play. It suits them very well. They get people with really tremendous voices. It's not, you know, and I would say too personally, I wouldn't think I would want to go see that kind of stuff, but that's a really cool play. And I think they have the talent to make it a really nice evening.
And Prima doesn't have a physical space at this point, so where's this show going to be held?
I'm assuming it's going to be at the Ware. That's their home base for now.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out for that one. Mm-hmm. Our friends at the Effort of Performing Arts Center are also starting their season in January with a kid-friendly show.
So EPAC season starts in 2013. The first thing they're doing is Annie Jr., and they do a really great thing called Kids for Kids. And they like to start their season out with a show that has mostly children in it, maybe a few adults. And they always sell out. They're hugely popular. And it's a great training ground for young talent. And that's one of the things I think EPAC does best. I think EPAC is the quintessential community theater, and the fact that they really do encourage people who want to try theater, mm-hmm. might be intimidated by some of the bigger theaters or scared to do professional theater, and they love having new talent come out, and they get really excited when they find new people. So you've got your old favorites who show up there, but they're always integrating new people, and now they're really making the effort to get it started with kids. And
that sounds like a great program.
Yeah, I directed in it years ago, and I haven't been able to since, but the couple things I've seen, and lots of my former students at the Fulton go and do that stuff, so it's a lot of fun. And Annie Jr. is just a cute, really cute version. But then also what they're doing, so there's kind of a break, but I kind of really want to give them a plug for this. It doesn't start till March, but they're going to do Angels in America, which is hugely ambitious for them. That won the Pulitzer in 93. You know, huge, it was a Tony Award winner, but it's, you know, I just looked up the subtitle of it today, and it's called Angels in America, a Gay Fantasia on National Themes. So you're not sure how that would really play in Ephrata, but I'm really excited they're going to do it. And that's a two-part piece. That's two different plays. The first part's called Millennium Approaches, and the second part's called Perestroika. And that's a challenging piece for any theater to do, so I'm really impressed that they're going to do it.
Well, thanks, Joanna, for taking a minute to talk about theater, and congratulations to Creative Works on a very successful holiday show this year with the sock puppet, a holiday sock opera.
Yes, and thanks in no small part to you for having us on your previous podcast and promoting it.
It's our pleasure. We'll see you next time. Joanna Underhill is a longtime theater professional here in Lancaster. She is currently a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater and vice chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. You can learn more about Creative Works at their website, creativelancaster.org. This week on the program, we're taking a look back at 2012. It's been a great year for the Woodstove House, and we are extremely grateful for the generous support of so many new friends, readers, and listeners. To all of you who attended a Woodstove House event, checked out the podcast, or took time to read a blog article, thank you. Woodstove House's Steve Carlson and I took a few minutes over the holidays to pull out some of our highlights for the year that was 2012.
For me, what 2012 was a year of experiments because we came into it not fully understanding what Woodstove House was really about, and which is a good thing because it allowed us the opportunity to really explore and try things without investing a whole lot into any one particular thing. And the result of it was really this really diverse year of different events and different projects that some were really incredible and some weren't really incredible. What stands out to you?
I mean, I think the theater events, because there is so much involved and there's so much that we put into those really stand out because you can step back and you see this thing that ultimately other people are creating, the writers and the directors and the actors are creating, but you've laid all the groundwork for this thing to happen. And I think that's just if I were to pick out just single events, I think I would point at those.
We produced two public theater events in 2012. Our second annual production of Lancaster's 24-hour plays was held in November. And during the first weekend in May was Playgrounds, Theater on Site. Woodstove House commissioned three local playwrights to write three short plays specific to locations in Lancaster City. The audience congregated at the first location, Lemon Street Market, watched the first play, and then were led by a fiddler down Mulberry Street to the Shriner Concord Cemetery, where they came upon the second play. The audience then moved to the third location, the courtyard in front of Fulton Elementary School, to take in the third play. We ran the entire show three times over Lancaster's Spring Art Walk weekend.
That project was wildly successful, beyond what I imagined. We had over 300 people attend three different performances across Art Walk Weekend, which might not sound like a lot of people, but understanding that it's site-specific theater, outdoors, no sound reinforcement. So it was like we're expecting 20, 30 people crowding around a small group of actors in the open air. So to have 101 showing, we had 120 people walking down Mulberry Street to the next, you know, from play to play and crowding into this space. That was a really exciting weekend, Art Walk Weekend.
Well, I was just, you know, thinking about the numbers. I mean, unlike something where you sell the tickets and you know, whoa, we haven't sold many tickets, or whoa, we sold a lot of tickets, there are no tickets. So you really don't know who's going to show up. You get a feel of some of the buzz around town when you're talking to friends and stuff, like, are they going to go? What do they hear? And things like that. But, you know, have people show up in those numbers. I mean, that was really exciting. And I mean, we're talking about actors, and actors, you know, want to have people show up. They want to have people in the seats. I mean, there were no seats for this, but they want people there. And so when the people started to show up, you could just feel this, ooh, yay, look at all these people, you know, from the actor standpoint, they were just excited that they were going to have all these people. But that whole process was, you know, fun in the sense that it was new for town. It wasn't something that we had taken from somebody else. You know, like 24-hour plays has been running for 14 years in New York City, and it was an idea that was new to us, you know, in terms of production, but it's something that somebody else had done. And sure, I'm sure that people have done site-specific works, you know, they have. And but to put the three together in town and to have them written by local people, directed by local people, it was exciting.
I think one of the coolest things that came from that project was a connection with the PA Guild of Craftsmen and Nick Muller, who manages, organizes, promotes Art Walk.
Absolutely. You know, I called Nick. I think I sent him an email. Hey, we're doing this thing. Called him. Didn't know him. Wasn't quite sure. I mean, it's Art Walk, and a lot of people have a certain sense of what art means and what art is. And he jumped right all over it right from the beginning. He's like, yeah, you know, let's talk about this. Let's figure this out and make this happen. And they you know, Art Walk did a wonderful job promoting all the venues and that whole weekend. It was a So it's a great event. Maps and web presence and all that stuff.
Look for Playgrounds 2013 coming this year during Lancaster's Spring Art Walk. And keep an eye out for Lancaster's 24-Hour Plays 2013 next November. 24-Hour Plays is a concept developed in New York City in the mid-90s, where a team of writers, directors, actors, and crew come together to write, rehearse, and publicly perform six brand new short plays over the course of 24 hours. In November 2012, we produced our second annual Lancaster version of the 24-Hour Plays.
I think 24-Hour Plays 2012 proved to me that this is a keeper.
It definitely is a keeper. Like, just to walk into the space right before showtime, right before a curtain came up, tons of people, lots of people that we didn't know. I think that we've thought about that before. Like, if we draw all our friends, that's great, but a lot of our friends don't have a choice to show up. But, you know, see people that we didn't know, people who are new to events that we produced. I mean, that says a lot. And it's just an exciting time, exciting night, exhausting for everybody. And a lot of people supported us in that and helped us out in that. And it was a great 24 hours.
It's just remarkable. It's so overwhelming to witness what these people do with that project, you know, because I feel like that we do so much work in advance to set the stage, quote unquote, you know, and we're running around really frantically throughout the 24-hour period. But the people who actually write, direct, and learn and perform these plays, it's overwhelming. It's just really overwhelming. That's all.
No, I yeah, absolutely.
You can hear a full episode featuring Lancaster's 24-Hour Plays 2012 on podcast episode number 85. Find it at our website, woodstovehouse.com. We produced a handful of house concerts in 2012, a couple as benefit fundraisers for area nonprofits. Back in August, we welcomed Nashville singer-songwriter duo Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart, who played an incredible concert under starry skies at a beautiful historic home in Manheim Township.
I had high expectations because I remember Stacy from Nashville in the mid-90s. But they are, I mean, they are the quintessential house concert act. Like, they really, they just know exactly how to do it. I asked Mark, he said they play like 40 house concerts a year of a 200-show schedule or whatever insane number of days that they do. But what a beautiful setting. Beautiful Manheim Township home on the back patio in the summer, in the evening outside. It's just it was an outstanding concert. And we are actually have them booked to come to the Woodstove House in May of 2013.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Stacy and Mark are coming back to the area. Can't wait to host them again. But we're doing it at the Woodstove House this year.
Here's Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart with If You Change Your Mind on Around the Woodstove. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Woodstove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, Steve and I are looking back at 2012.
I had some really incredible podcast experiences this year. Really cool stuff. The Stray Birds. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's the Stray Birds.
Charlie, hey, Jason.
Hi, Oliver. Oliver Craven, Maya DeVitri, and Charlie Mench here to talk about... We did a CD release episode for them. And I had Oliver on. There's an episode from, I guess, 2011, where Oliver was talking about the bands that he was in, and the Stray Birds weren't yet a thing. They had played. I mean, they were the first EP was out, but that wasn't his main thing. He was touring with a band called Steel Wheels at the time, and he had a local band called River Wheel with Charlie Mench. Lancaster based band, and he was busking and doing some other stuff with Maya as Stray Birds. And so I was talking to Oliver about the Stray Birds at that time, and I remember asking him specifically, of all these projects you do, because there's some other projects too, of all these projects, what's your dream, like, what do you want to do? And he said Stray Birds. Like, he didn't really even hesitate. He said, but I just can't guarantee you that it can or will happen. And then, like, not even a year later, 9 months later or something like that, they're exploding. Had just finished recording this new album, and I was lucky enough to have all three of them here to do an interview in the summer right before the new album came out. And of course, the new album is all over the place. So that's definitely one of my favorite podcast memories, is getting a chance to sit down with those guys just before their tour.
Here are the Stray Birds with Heavy Hands on Around the Woodstove.
Work my hands till they're blistered, bloody and damp. Walk my feet down the dirt road the alleys and the streets. Shine my light, shine my light down the dark hole, the tunnels and the nights. You know my name, I feel you now. Can you reach me? Will you try?
Another one was getting a chance to talk with Kingsfoil before their new record came out this September. With the new lineup with Frankie Muniz playing drums, and right before they went out on a 2-month national tour, and then they took a little break and just did another East Coast tour. And those guys are just doing so well that it was a real treat to be able to sit down with those guys just before taking off and just before releasing this album, which was really, really highly anticipated. So it's always my pleasure to hang out with the guys in Kingsfoil.
Here's Jordan Davis and Frankie Muniz from Kingsfoil talking about What Your Mother Taught You. The first single from their latest album, A Beating Heart Is a Bleeding Heart.
No, I mean, the songs were out for quite, they were done for a while. So we had a lot of time to kind of painstakingly go over them. And a lot of people had opinions about it, some DJs and some people in the industry, and we all had our opinions. So it took quite a while to figure out, which one to go with.
I think it's a good problem. The fact that we had a really hard time picking what would be the best first single. You know what I mean?
I see you from across the room, out of the darkness like a perfect bloom. I tell myself to leave this place. Then you start to walk, my heart starts to race. You got those kind of legs that bring me to my knees, but you're behind barbed wire, flashing keys and white teeth. I really want you now, but you are too fool, too fool of yourself, too fool of your hip, 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 hip. You're a hypocrite, baby. Sip, 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 sip. Why you telling me to take it easy? I don't know what you're about to tell you, girl. What you're about to tell you, may have felt.
Another really cool podcast experience in 2012 was having a chance to talk to Rich Lowe and Judy Smith from the Longs Park Amphitheater Foundation. Each year, the foundation sponsors Sunday evening concerts featuring national award-winning acts. This year, they broke attendance records with a midsummer show by the rock band Dawes, and shortly thereafter hosted my favorite Longs Park concert ever with Portland's March 4th Marching Band.
I've been going to these concerts for years. I mean, we took the kids when they were really little, and, we don't go to all the concerts, but we would go to a handful. But since we moved down toward, right on the edge of the city about 7 years ago, we go all the time. It's just a few minutes from our house. And, I'd never really, it's just sort of a mysterious thing, like how these things come together, right? So getting a chance to say to Rich, who was at least this year the director, the music director, the guy who runs the committee to choose music. It was really cool to hear that. Rich, talk about the music. What goes into planning this season of music?
Well, we have a committee of people that work on putting together the season. And we start in usually around October. We start to have meetings, and we'll meet once a month. And the committee varies 5-6 people usually. Mm-hmm. And people bring a different perspective in that. There's five entirely different, mostly different perspectives on the committee. I'm a rock and roll guy. There's another guy who's a big fan of Celtic and folk and acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a jazz guy.
That's great.
Yeah. So, but the idea is the committee meets from October. We usually nail it down sometime in April. This year was really late. We had one thing hanging, but and the idea is to provide a really wide variety of musical styles and genres, so that whoever will attract different core audiences every week, But our goal is to, and I think we've been pretty successful at it, is to provide music that you know that if you show up on a Sunday, you may or may not decide you like that particular band or that particular kind of music, but you'll hear really good music of whatever kind it is. And I think we've introduced a lot of people to stuff they otherwise wouldn't have listened to because they're just used to coming out on Sunday night.
The fourth annual Launch Music Conference went down back in April at the Lancaster County Convention Center in the heart of downtown Lancaster and on stages throughout the city. Hundreds of bands and thousands of fans enjoyed 3 nights of live music and 2 days of music industry workshops and panels. We were on site with Tri-State Indy meeting new bands who traveled into Lancaster from across the country.
For the Woodstove House and Tri-State Indy, this is Jason Mundock. Tri-State Indy Live, we're at Launch 2012, Lancaster, PA, welcoming Ballroom Thieves to Lancaster. Welcome.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
All the way from Boston, Massachusetts.
Like, it was really together. I thought those guys did an outstanding job putting together the roster of bands and booking, you know. I mean, I know that they get inundated with requests, and there are so many different kinds of shows going on. But there just seemed to be a different kind of energy in the city over launch weekend this year. And I was in the convention center with our friends at Tri-State Indy doing some interviewing with them and some interviews for the podcast, and it was just a really, really, really great time and great energy. And I think that I just see that thing growing and growing and growing in years to come.
Well, during that weekend, it's hard not to know something's going on because there are a lot of people running around just going from place to place, and it's hard not, you know, from a resident standpoint. Moose does a good job pushing it out. Jeremy does a good job pushing it out over at CI, and it's hard not to know that it's happening. So and you're right, like, you know, I saw some bands and the music is excellent. I hadn't seen Dana Alexandra play before. Just loved it. You know, just sweet, poppy, energetic.
That was a killer set too, behind Marion Court.
I love
that. In their little courtyard space back there. Not in the far back, but
get a little ducky in the vintage too.
That's right, Ducky did an acoustic thing at Dipco. Oh, man.
Each year, the art scene in Lancaster gets better and better. At the Woodstove House, we couldn't be more excited to be part of it. Our focus as we head into 2013 is to offer an online portal for arts lovers of all kinds to discover the incredible creative projects and the artists who make them happen right here in Lancaster, PA. Be sure to keep in touch with us by visiting our website, woodstovehouse.com. From there, you can subscribe to the blog and podcast, sign up for our monthly newsletters, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Woodstove was produced at the Woodstove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.